All right, let's talk to our next guest. Chris, Eagles got a big game against the Bengals on Sunday. I mean, 5-2 and 4-3 are very different records. Very different records. And they've got a great opportunity this week, not only to win a game, but in many ways to grab the town that, you know, let's be real, has been pretty lukewarm on the Eagles so far, and I think rightfully so. Dick Vermeil's seen it pretty much all in pro football, and we'll get his opinion on the Eagles and the Bengals, and he, of course, is brought to us by Independence Blue Cross, the region's strongest network of doctors and hospitals, means you can choose where, when, and how you get the care you need. Learn more at IBX.com. Let's learn from the Eagles' legendary coach, Dick Vermeil, right now. Coach Vermeil, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Thank you, Dick, for joining us here. So, Eagles-Bengals, what are your thoughts off the top? It's a challenge. It's an opportunity. It's a benchmark game of how good the Eagles are. What are your thoughts?
Well, Cincinnati is a team that seems like each year gets better each game they play. They start out a little slow. I expect them to play Cincinnati at their best game this year, looking back on comparing them with how they've played in the past. Cincinnati's a real fine offensive team. And, of course, Joe Burrow, you know what, he's number three quarterback in the NFL right now with a great quarterback efficiency rating. Their defense is not good, but it's a little better than it was last year. And I just kind of think if we go in and play like we're capable of playing, because our defense is so much better than they were last year. I've spent some time this week studying all the different variable stats, and they're a much better football team. And maybe one of the most improved defensive teams this year in the league. They're really they're doing a good job. And our offense is not up to par yet, but it's getting closer. Of course, when you play the Giants, all your offensive stats gets distorted a little bit. But, you know, my computer says they're going to win by three, okay? Will it be easy? No, because they're meeting the best passer they've defended all year, and it'll be tough, but I still believe that the Eagles will go in there and beat them because of our improved overall efficiency on defense, especially in the third down conversion ratio compared to last year. The red zone success on defense compared to last year were so much better.
Coach, we were excited last couple of weeks, 13 sacks, and the young pass rushers were getting quarterbacks on the ground. Just the last couple of weeks, though, are the young pass rushers actually developing, or are the opponents over the last couple of weeks just less capable?
Probably a combination of both, but probably percentage-wise, it's based on the tackles, the offensive linemen they're rushing against haven't been as good. You know, but when you start having a little more success, it generates more success in the future, even against better offensive linemen. And because they learn, and pass rushers learn, and they study harder, and they want to keep getting after that quarterback. But you've got to be careful of putting too much emphasis on the success of pass rushers. You've always got to consider who's blocking them, okay?
So the young DBs that we've got, we've gained some confidence in them. You know, Cooper DeJean back there at the nickel and Quinyon making plays already. How likely is it they can hold up against this level of wide receiver talent with Ja'Marr Chase? And like, they really have some talent. Are these young kids up to the challenge?
I think they'll play well. You know, they'll have to play a little better each game, and they will because they're gaining experience, and the speed of the game on every snap is so different than in college. But they're so much better. I mean, we're talking about a red zone defense last year that gave up 65% score. Now they're at 39%. You know, third down conversion last year at 46%. Now it's 32%. So the secondary is doing something right. Mm-hmm. First off, I'm sure they're well coached, and secondly, the talent's better. And the rush is maybe not quite as good as it has been, but it'll have to be the best effort from a pass rush standpoint because we all know even Burrow doesn't play well under pressure.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Dick Vermeil with us here. You know, Coach, I want to get your perspective. I mentioned earlier you've seen pro football obviously go on, 60 years
almost
or so.
Too long.
A long time. long time. So the Eagles have something that is just an incredible advantage this year, and it's A.J. Brown and Saquon Barkley in their primes. I mean, really in their primes. And, you know, I'm just thinking about it. I think there's few teams in NFL history that have had a better level of combination of greatness than these two. I think Rice and Craig probably better because Rice was the best. Falk and Bruce or Holt, you had them. Emmett Smith and Michael Irvin, I would say better. But very few have ever been better than these two in combo. Would you agree with that?
I agree with you. I'd say they're equivalent. Maybe not better, but they're equivalent to those other great receiving teams. You know, I had Holt and those guys with Isaac Bruce was already in the Hall of Fame, and Torrey will end up in there one day. But these guys are really good. But I'll tell you this. I was mad at halftime last week. Smith has minus 2 yards receiving. You know, so you're not very good as a wide receiver if they're not throwing you the ball. You got to get all your good receivers the ball.
So I'm getting increasingly concerned with Jalen. And candidly, I don't think he'll be the Eagles quarterback in 2 years. I think we've seen regression to average at best. Where do you stand on Jalen Hurts at this point?
My opinion on him has not changed. I don't think he has any limitation. There's some things he can improve on, but it's all there. And he has proved it to us. At his age, you don't lose the ability to do what you've done well. Okay? You just don't. I think sometimes defenses get a little better at defensing him and force him to do things he doesn't do well. But I don't think he really has any limitation. I think it's scheme and overall coaching and everything is got to be what it has been in the past for him to be as good as he was.
Coach, how do our offensive coaches accelerate Jalen's clock to getting the ball out? It just feels like we're about to play Joe Burrow, a quarterback who, man, he gets the ball out quickly. Some of that is like he's just had a really horrendous offensive line over the years, so he's learned out of necessity almost. But he gets it out as quickly as possible, and it feels like Jalen is at the other end of that spectrum. How do the coaches work to get him to get it out quicker?
Get more into the quick passing game. Mm-hmm. Then if you're behind the center, like a three-step drop, a six-yard breaking points on pass routes, you get it to him quickly. Or the back out of the backfield on an option route, boom, boom, it happens quickly. And I'm sure they do that with Burrow. And they do it with other quarterbacks to get ball quickly. But, you know, when you have two wide receivers and one where a tight end is healthy, those three receivers on the field at the same time, you tend to want to get them downfield maybe often, too often. So it takes them a little longer for the pass patterns to develop. But I'm sure within the scheme, they have a lot of offense that happens quicker and designed to happen quicker. And I think you'll see a little bit more of that. But I still don't. The only fault I see in Jalen, myself as a fan, just sitting watching the game, is sometimes in the pocket, he doesn't go up into the pocket as much as he ought to and control the passing rhythm, you know, and then takes too long because you can step up in the pocket and wham, let it go. So I think sometimes the definition of where he's going with the ball doesn't happen quite quick enough.
Dick, you had mentioned earlier a 3-point Eagles win. Was that your call or the computer? What's the breakdown between you and the computer this week?
It's the computer report. It's the computer report. You know, I never put points on games because they really vary. But I know this. The Eagles have so far this season run 7 more offensive plays per game than Cincinnati does. So, you know, we have a chance. We just have to execute better within the different phases of controlling the football, you know, staying on the field than they do. And I think we have a good chance of doing that.
Good stuff. Hey, Coach, one more thing, random topic. We touched a couple weeks ago when you were not on the show about how this is the 25th anniversary year of your Rams squad winning a Super Bowl. And we were wondering, do you get together in St. Louis? Do you get together in Los Angeles? Or do you not get together? What's the protocol for that?
Well, they're putting on a semi-reunion the day the Eagles play in L.A. this year. November 23rd?
Wow.
There's about 30 of us that are going to be there so far, right, from what I understand. Isaac Bruce held a function himself in St. Louis this year and had a number of them. And then St. Louis Missouri Athletic Club is putting on a function in February for us. So it's being celebrated, you know, but geez, that was a long time ago, 25 years.
I still remember that offense, Coach. That was an all-timer, holy mackerel, amazing.
You guys are football guys, okay? Let me tell you this. That offense was great. But we scored 11 touchdowns with the offense on the bench, who get credit for all those points.
Okay?
Wow. Remember?
Huh. Well, the reason they were on the bench, you're up by 77 points, so you pulled them out and said, number twos, you guys get in there.
not really. But anyway, it'll be fun to see everybody.
Good stuff. Well, Coach, have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy the game, and we look forward to talking to you next week. And let me remind everyone listening right now, great news, if you live in PA or New Jersey, you can right now, and as we approach the holiday season, get delicious Vermeil wine shipped directly to your home, you know, for Thanksgiving, for Christmas, for entertaining guests, or just sitting there with yourself or your family. Vermeil Wines, the best. Get Vermeil Wines and visit VermeilWines.com for Coach's entire wine selection. Coach, thanks so much.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
All right, you too.
Coach.
Dick Vermeil, 215-592-9494. I'm glad to hear that there's stuff going on in St. Louis, because that wouldn't be fair to those people.
Yeah.
And look, you guys know I'm not a pro St. Louis person because of the freaking Cardinals thing, all right? Baseball, what was Seltzer? Baseball heaven? Is that what Scott Rowland called it?
Yeah, BS.
By the way, did you see their ratings went down? What was the number? It was like in the 40 percentile this year. Their ratings went down because their team stinks in baseball.
What a shock.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I mean, baseball heaven, my arse. But they did have an incredible team. And frankly, the people in St. Louis deserve a celebration a lot more than the people in Los Angeles. I mean, come on. Imagine we're coming up to the 40th anniversary next year of Back to the Future. And Chuck's like 70 years ago or so.
No. Chuck was,
yeah. Yeah, he was.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Something like 80,
like that.
I think, right?
Well, this song would have been in the 50s. So, whatever, you know, you're around 70
years. Yeah, 70 years. Yeah. Good work.
Unbelievable. So, Ruben, I said one time, I was in a conversation with Roman Harper, the terrific NFL defensive back, and I told him that this is one of the absolute best songs of all time, and he says no. Now, Ruben, where do you come down on the Johnny?
He's wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how that's... Ruben, isn't that got to be at least in the top...
It's a great song.
I think it's crazy that
it's
you knew
10.
That.
It's not top 10.
I don't know,
what?
Man. It's hard to...
Yeah, it
10.
Is. It's got to be top 10.
Nah, not for me.
What's Johnny the... Be Good is... It, look, this laid
it's not
the
top
groundwork.
10.
This laid the groundwork.
Ruben coming in hot. It's like,
I love when you do...
No, Ruben, no.
You do that where you're like the guy... No, it's not top 10. Like you...
That's it.
You try to end...
Boom.
The possibility.
Ruben and I are
Johnny
very similar in that way. Ruben
authority.
And I say it like it's done, and there's no further discussion.
Johnny B. Good was what
dropping
Keith Richards
mic.
Was listening to, like as a little boy over somewhere in like Surrey, England, to you know create sow the seeds of the Rolling Stones. Johnny B. Good became every other great rock and roll song of the '60s and '70s, like.
Great song,
I don't know how
10.
That
well,
can't be top 10.
All right. Well, we have a difference of opinion. Johnny B. Good on the table at 215-592-9494. So, too, are the Eagles. What a fascinating game. What a great matchup. So,
it is.
I tend to think the Eagles will lose, and my main reason is because Joe Burrow is, at this point, significantly better than Jalen Hurts, which is incredible.
Our team is better than their team. I feel our defense
maybe.
Is, man, they're playing with attitude, and that really does make a difference.
Look, I'm happy with the defensive improvement. I'm really concerned with the Hurts thing, but we'll see. I mean, Saquon and AJ are a great advantage, but
he's
of course,
our quarterback,
since he has similar,
and he
advantages.
Will continue to develop and improve every game this season.
Well,
I really expect he probably
will not improve.
And
every
you
game.
Know that is where we want to be, like on the road to improvement. We talk about Nick Sirianni talks about every day 1%, all that. I know it seems. Like cliche.
Sure.
But I know that's what they're being told. That's what they plan on.
But that's not expect. That's not what always happens.
I am well aware.
Yeah.
I know that we talked to Coach Vermeil. Jalen has all the talent and potential in the world.
I don't think he does. I
believe. Think about some of the throws we've seen from him.
But it's not the throws.
He can keep the chains moving. That's the last thing he does.
He either throws a touchdown that's a deep ball, or they don't go anywhere.
He has been worse at keeping this thing going, like taking what the defense gives him.
That's his like worst thing.
Distribute the ball. Like it is a simpler concept than what he's making it. I believe. I do think that this staff. And, like, they can give him the proper pieces to get this done. It's not that complex. He's got all the talent around
him. He's making
it
more
like
complex.
A point guard
concept.
Rhea, you and I are on the same page.
I mean,
entirely,
I'm
right?
sorry. Like I started out the beginning of the season, like, not overly impressed with Kellen Moore, but those plays are open.
Totally.
I mean, and, you know, you
yes,
hear
and
it.
Sometimes quarterbacks don't throw it to the open guy. You do know that Patrick Mahomes has thrown eight interceptions.
John, can we stop with
no,
the,
nobody
John,
cares.
The comparison
nobody
to Patrick
cares.
Mahomes
nobody
is
cares.
Not even in the same
you understand
vicinity.
That it's well, not always perfect for a quarterback.
John, Patrick
it's
Mahomes'
hard.
Receivers stink. That's why they just made a trade. Now, yes. Now A.J. wasn't here for three games. So that's,
and they d- but, yeah, and they no, were hurt. They've been weeding their
I get
way
that.
Out.
But I mean, between Saquon, who,
and,
by the
and
way.
We Devontae. Didn't have A.J. for three games. And, do you and, remember that part?
No, I just referenced that.
That does matter,
yeah.
too.
But and, James, what happened to the throw the ball to Saquon thing that I predicted wasn't going to happen?
He dropped the ball, and that was it.
Yeah, no, you know what I mean?
Well, that's so the funniest thing ever. The only time he's ever thrown it well to Saquon. Was the one Saquon dropped. Yeah. Saquon was probably like, wow, I can't believe this is coming right to
me. I mean, it's a travesty that Saquon won't catch 70 or 80 balls this year, because he should, but it's not his fault. Jalen just doesn't get him the ball. It's, you know, Greg Cosell said something, we'll get to it shortly, that I thought was the most interesting thing of everything said this week, and my antenna is way up on Jalen, which is why I think, unfortunately, the Eagles will lose. The good news is they might not lose. The defense is playing a lot better. Saquon and A.J. are an incredible combination. You know, Sirianni, I think, often makes good in-game decisions. Now, he did not at the start of this year, but he made a big one last week that was a big part of how they won, going for fourth and three that they banged in for a touchdown. So, you know, the Eagles got some stuff going for them, but, man, I think Jalen's a big issue. Let's go to the phones. Dan,
it's hard to play quarterback. You understand how hard it is to play quarterback, and he is improving. It's not as fast as I would have liked.
Here's where I am.
He is getting closer.
All right, let me. I'm going to go on the record for the first time, big picture with Jalen. You can think I'm right. You can think I'm wrong. There's no way for me to prove it. There's no way for you to prove it right now. Here's where I'm at. I've told you before, I don't think he'll be the Eagles starting quarterback 2 years from now. I'm clearly
and
on the record.
And because it's a difficult thing to do, playing quarterback, I think it's safe to say that about a lot of guys.
No,
like,
John,
hey,
that's not John. Hold on, don't go
a
there.
A quarterback,
John, they
is
signed
going
him
to struggle.
John,
yes,
no, you
he's
can't.
A young quarterback.
You can't say he's young.
Who
developing.
Will struggle?
No, hold on.
It's 4 years.
Yeah, John, he's supposed to be their starting quarterback 2 years from now. That's why he got paid that contract. He's supposed to be. Tyrese Maxey is not supposed to be off
and
the Sixers in 2 years.
And it's not going to be all right. Happy and
no,
and
but
smiles.
But I'm
and
just telling you, here's where I'm at. He's not their quarterback in 2 years, but here's where I'm going to go for the first time ever. He's not an NFL starting quarterback in 3 years. He will be a backup within 3 years.
Well, who knows? 3 years, wow.
No, but, John, he's supposed
– What does that mean?
What does it mean? It means he's an incredible –
3 years is a long
John,
time,
John, you're being obtuse. You tell us all the time that he is someone to build around. I'm telling you, I don't think any team will build around him 3 years from now.
Well, I guess we'll
and,
see.
And it'll only
years.
Be like, and it'll
that's
only
an
be like,
awful long time.
John, he'll be 28 years old.
I hope that's not
so,
the case.
I hope so, Ruben. So, I hope
that's,
so,
that's not the case. I believe
28
in this guy,
years old
but
is still young.
I have some concerns too, but I hope he's. I really hope he's gets better and better.
I do too, man.
I really
do.
I think he has the ability to do that.
Because, Ruben, you know what's a shame? They got a team that could win.
He's got the work
it.
Ethic. We know that.
Yeah, but I at that point, I'm. Look.
He needs.
They could win a title if they had a legitimate QB. And right now, he is really
lagging. He's got the work ethic. We know that. We know he needs. He needs the help around him.
No,
he's got that.
No.
What?
No,
stop.
No.
He's got the help around
who's
him.
Who's not doing the job? Kellen Moore, A.J. Brown, Saquon Barkley, Devontae Smith for the O-line.
They're all to doing, work together. They all need to pull together.
They're all
with
doing
this.
Their job, except he's not good enough.
Kellen Moore needs to do a better job.
No.
What are you talking about?
No.
The offense is a work in progress.
They call the plays they call because they're trying to spoon feed Jalen.
Just like every offense in the NFL.
I think the assessment comes at the end of the year after the season's over because he's had so many coordinators, so many people in his ear. I think he's still in the learning process.
There's no question.
It's kind of crazy. Sounds crazy. It shouldn't
be. There's no question.
Well, the arrow is Ruben, the arrow's pointing down.
Pointing sideways.
Right. All right, let's go to Dan in Philadelphia. Dan, good morning, pal.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
What's up, Danny?
John, you got to be stop being so optimistic about this and I mean,
I got to stop being optimistic.
I'm
being realistic that we have a young quarterback who needs to develop further.
How long?
That's what we have.
How long does it take to develop? 10, 15 years? Like, I don't understand how long it takes to develop. He has every – first of all, Joe DeCamara could probably have a winning record with this offensive weapons.
0-17. 0-17, and I'd be broken in the first game, so maybe they'd win game 10.
I mean – again, I hate when I say Joe.
It's incredible that everyone ignores the things that he does well. There are so many quarterbacks in the NFL who have no ability to do half of what he does.
The RPO stuff in the NFL. I want him to be an elite $250 million quarterback. I don't want to have to compare him to, oh well, there's a low end quarterback that he's not doing great. Jalen Hurts got paid to be an elite quarterback with elite weapons, with an elite offensive line, and he looks average at best. I mean, he should be playing way better.
I agree, Dan.
I hope he does, too. And
well,
I expect he will get closer to playing better with every week that goes by.
10, 15 years?
He's learning a new offense with every week that goes by, and you say, doesn't matter. It does matter.
Doesn't matter enough to me.
But you did, John, you did say that when Kellen Moore was here, you would stop using the coaching as an excuse for. You said that many times.
Okay, so what?
The coaching fixes everything.
You're going back. So what if I said that? Times have changed. We see the situation is fluid.
Well, he stinks. No, he doesn't stink. I take it back. He doesn't stink.
This is unbelievable.
I take that back.
Basic.
He doesn't stink, but he is average at best. He's average at best.
And that sucks. I really wanted him to be that 2022 quarterback.
He's breaking the pocket too quickly.
Dan, I'll tell you this.
He's reading it too slowly.
And you don't think the coach is telling him this?
It's a roller coaster. Yeah. Every week, some weeks it'll be good, some weeks it'll be worse. I am frustrated too. The fact that you give up on the concept of this young quarterback advancing, of him improving, is foreign to me.
Right,
that idea is crazy.
You're not going to be able to say young quarterback pretty soon.
We just said in 3 years he'll be 28, right?
He keeps doing it wrong. Whose fault is it?
That's young.
All right, Dan, give me a great answer for stylish.
How about Liberace?
Liberace. You got it, my man.
You know,
when I was in Oakland, our quarterback showed up, Rich Gannon. He was, 35 years old?
Yeah.
And he had not had success in the NFL to that point.
But an exception to the rule. You know, for every Rich Gannon, there's 1,000 guys.
And he wasn't being paid $250 million, which impacts the way you build the rest of your team.
He thought you had a franchise guy.
And you know what really is really
because
a shame?
He deserved
AJ, you know, there's a good chance could still be prime 3 years from now. Yeah. Saquon will not be.
No.
Like,
no.
You know, you do have a window here with Saquon. And it's right now and probably next year. So it's a bummer that Jalen's – but look, maybe the defense
– all this is a bummer to me that you are so closed-minded about the possibility this kid – and he is a kid.
Oh, yeah, he's not.
How old is he?
He's 26, I believe.
26.
Don't you think that's in NFL circles, that is considered –
not when it's year five and you came from Alabama and Oklahoma.
What concerns me about him is his
I was 2 years in the league when I was 26.
Yeah, but he learned from Nick Saban. Like – you know, like, he didn't get no coaching. This isn't a guy
that defensive mastermind.
This guy didn't play at Nevada. He played for Alabama and Oklahoma. I mean,
and he said that the only coaching he got was at Oklahoma. Remember that?
Well, maybe he was wrong.
He got was in at Oklahoma.
Maybe he couldn't read the coaching. Like, he can't read defenses.
He needs taught. He needs taught better how to do this offense.
Well, one of the most underrated essences of being an athlete is instinct, and I'm not sure that he has the instinct to be an elite quarterback.
Totally agree.
I think he has the athleticism to be an elite quarterback. I'm wondering whether the instinct is ever going to be there.
Look, Ruben, I think
he has
well
the
said.
Instinct to do the running, the RPO concept. That's something we take so for granted.
Yeah, but he doesn't have the athleticism.
The knowledge,
that he used
to. The intrinsic understanding of how to run that. The run game in the NFL, not many quarterbacks can do it the way he does it. That is a gift that we take for granted.
No, he's really great
and
at that.
We just gloss over it like it's nothing.
No,
a skill. That is a gift, and he has to work on other aspects.
But
of
here's
the
problem with
these coaches need to do a better job of bringing him along with the other aspects as well.
Here's the problem with his tremendous instincts at when to keep it and when to hand it off and that sort of thing. He doesn't have, to Ruben's word, athleticism. He doesn't have the athleticism he had 2 and 3 years ago to turn the corner when he keeps it. So it makes it less effective if he makes the right decision. I mean, it's great to make the right decision, but if you can't get around the corner, it doesn't really do you any good. Let's go to Richie.
We don't know.
It's pretty clear to me.
I see him not get the corner now. I don't understand why he's not getting the corner.
I can tell you why. It's not as athletic as he used to be.
We don't know how banged up he is at times. No.
He's not banged up this year.
He just doesn't have to the idea speed. That he could be.
John, you know the irony? You keep saying open-minded. You're the only one here not open-minded.
You're the only one.
What are you talking about?
He's not that good.
He is better than you give him credit.
Maybe.
And he needs
so,
to improve to get where he needs to be to help us be a playoff-winning team.
Let's get some calls in here. Richie in Northeast Philly. Rich, what's going on, bud?
Once again, I find myself calling in to defend the great Joe DeCamera,
who has been
assaulted this week with, when are you going to marry Amy? When are you going to get a house? It's nonstop. But can we talk about Joe's greatness with, once again, beat the hammer? God.
I did not stage this. I want everyone to know. I didn't stage this at all. But go ahead.
Small check.
Please preach on. Please.
This time of the year, Joe DeCamera excels at carving pumpkins for Halloween because he had so much practice carving cantaloupes at Fairfield University.
Smash!
Bang!
Oh, man.
Bang! That's how we do!
Richie, I thought you were my buddy, and now I may be on a presidential election debate stage someday having to answer to the cantaloupe. Did you not? No, I did not.
Hopefully you don't warm up the pumpkins.
No, you're not kidding.
I want to call in. Enough with this joke. Rhea, you need to speak up louder every single day with this Joel Embiid protection, this nonsense that nothing else works, so let's try it this way. This guy has been a fraud in this city for, what is it now, 10 years?
Yes.
10 years going on?
Correct.
But why are we protecting this guy? Every year is a new excuse for him to fail or for a reason for him to fail. Enough with it already. Rhea's been spot on with this.
Joe, the crazy thing about it is I remember very early on, we had Larry Brown on as a guest.
Yep.
And that was during the tanking. And he just said something that has always stuck with me. When you bring kids in when they're young and their first couple years in, and you tell them that it's okay to lose, losing is never a problem for them.
Yeah, no, I remember the argument, and it may have really dramatically influenced them.
Well, it did because he's never been it's like, yeah, whatever you want to do, Joe. You want to not rehab your first year, so it costs you a second year. That's fine. You want to have a foot problem but still go play in the All-Star game. It's important that you get a gold medal, go right ahead, but you're not ready to start the season.
Yeah.
It's all nonsense.
Well, back then also is when they didn't force Ben Simmons to play at the end that one year when he could have played.
The rookie of the year thing,
I mean, that's...
It's losing, nonsense.
Losing is a disease.
Yeah.
As it really was said,
in what movie, Ruben?
I can't remember.
Come on, Ruben.
Do you remember that? The Ben Simmons thing, it was like $25 million.
Was it The Natural?
The Natural.
$25 million. He won Rookie of the Year the second year he was in the NBA.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
He stayed out. He just sat out.
For an award.
Refused to play because he wanted to win. Nike or whatever? He had
an incentive through
Nike.
Some kind of bonus.
If he won Rookie of the Year, he'd get like $25 million. And I don't remember the exact numbers, but he really did play the system.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. All right, Richie, give me a real quick.
We're just going to move past you not knowing the line from your favorite movie ever.
No, I know the answer. I'm saying
Ruben. I didn't.
My fault.
I didn't. That's Ruben.
Okay, my fault.
That was my fault.
Man.
I love that you went after Joe.
Thank you,
Richie.
Jake.
This was your point.
Thanks for covering for me,
Richie.
Jake.
I'm catching shrapnel that it's unwarranted. All right, bud, give me a great answer. A stylish person.
You may not have liked his style, but Elvis Presley had style.
He did have style.
Sure,
he did have style. Who had style? Someone help me out here in the Madonna song. She had style, she had grace. Is it Betty Davis?
Rita Hayworth.
Rita Hayworth
gave good face.
It's the person before Rita Hayworth?
Betty Davis.
I don't remember.
Betty Davis, she had style. She had
I think it's
grace.
Betty Davis. That sounds right.
Rita Hayworth, she had good face.
Yeah.
Betty Davis she gave been good face.
What does that mean, by the way?
I mean, she's a beautiful
face. She's a beautiful woman.
Yeah.
Don't make it weird. Somewhere else, Joe.
But you know what's on 98% of people's minds
Quit
right
it.
Now.
I think that might be intentional by her.
It might be.
Come on.
Might be. Of course it's intentional.
She gave good face.
All right, stop repeating
okay,
it.
Okay, but I'm just saying. I'm just,
we know where you're going
I'm
with
just,
that.
I'm just
you
saying.
Can repeat that's, it. It's not, you know, against the FAA area.
I don't know. That's a weird one by Madonna right there. All right, 215-592-9494.
She was risque, Joe.
She was,
she
man.
Was. Very much so.
Oh, she yeah. was. You know what it's like?
Did you ever see the like the tabletop, I mean, that book in the 90s?
I know that.
Access to that book?
I didn't own, but I had access.
I think we've all seen that. It was an aggressive book.
It was
as aggressive a book as I've ever seen.
It really was.
Was it on your coffee table, John?
I don't believe, but I have seen it.
Yeah.
I have perused it.
It's like the Vanessa Williams photographs all those years ago.
Oh, my God.
I mean, typically pull it out
when it could benefit me.
Yeah.
Guilty as charged.
All right, so let's play some audio here. First, Greg Cosell, and then Seth Joyner. I found this interesting. Of all that has been said about Jalen this week, I thought Greg Cosell was the most, I don't know if alarmist is the right word, but he was very direct with his concerns about Jalen. So let's listen to Cosell. He was on with Ross Tucker on Ross's podcast, and you can tell that Greg is very concerned with what Jalen's doing these days.
Jalen Hurts is not playing very good football. They're a running football team. Their defense has played a lot better the last couple of weeks. Now, people can say they beat the Giants and the Browns, and that's fair because those are two of the lesser offenses in the league. But if you just look at what they're doing and how individuals are playing, they're playing better on defense. But the Eagles can't sustain, if they want to be a true playoff team, they can't sustain the way they played last week. Your quarterback has to be a bigger factor. Jalen Hurts, for whatever reason, Ross, and he's played a lot of football games, and you do them in the preseason, so you're familiar with him. For whatever reason, he's just not seeing things clearly right now. Basic concepts he's not seeing, and that really handicaps and hamstrings your offense when your quarterback just can't execute basic concepts, and that's what he's struggling with right now.
And that's Greg Cosell again from Ross Tucker's Football Podcast. So I want to play some audio of Seth Joyner because I thought Seth nailed this. He was on with the Midday Show, Joe and Hugh, earlier this week. And to me, there's you got to work with what you got situation. And I think Seth really nailed this with what the Eagles' strategy should be. Here's Seth earlier this week.
I've been saying this for weeks. The way you're going to get Jalen fixed is you pretty much got to make him a game manager. Nobody wants to hear that, you know, for a $51 million franchise quarterback, but he's off right now. The way you fix him is make him a game manager. You run the football, use your big offensive line, and play action off of it. And eventually, by the time we get to, you know, week 10, the Dallas week, now hopefully Jalen is back where he needs to be passing the ball. And now you can vary your game plan wherever you need to either be run or pass in certain situations.
The only thing I'll say that I disagree with on Seth there, I don't think it necessarily will fix him, but I think it will help them win games in the meantime. And that's
it's a fluid concept.
No, I know,
like,
but they do have
all,
to. Like,
it
against
makes total
Cincy,
sense.
My point is against Cincy, run the ball a lot because I think it gives you the best chance to win.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they can rehabilitate him as time goes on, which is Seth's point. Buy yourself some time. Try to get some W's. Try to build up his confidence.
And keep the Bengals' offense off the field.
That's not a bad idea either. Devin, where are you on the Jalen thing at this point?
So, I know. I've been quiet. I tend to actually side more with John, but I'm not as bullish on the fact that Jalen Hurts could get back to that elite level, but I'm also not where you're at, Joe, where I think he won't be the quarterback in 2 years. Like, I think he is can be a good quarterback, not necessarily great, but I don't think there's anything wrong with him being a game manager, right? If we look at what they did last week against New York, yeah, from a quarterback standpoint, it wasn't amazing, but it wasn't horrible. He hasn't turned the ball over in several games.
But like, at some point, you're going to face real teams.
At some point. We also do this funny thing here in Philadelphia where, like, leading up to that Giants game, leading up to the Browns game, it's, well, they're actually a better team this year. You know, I don't know. It's going to be a close one. And then once we blow them out or beat them, it's like, well, it's just the Giants. Yeah. And it was just the Browns. So you can't count that game.
They're a half a team.
I think at a certain point, we have to give credit where credit is due on both sides of the ball with the Eagles. I think Jalen obviously isn't making the best decisions right now. I hope he can improve, but I'm not out on him as quarterback.
All right, let's get to the Twitter poll questions of the day. They're both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet with the all-new three-row Chevrolet Traverse. It has arrived, and Armin has them in stock. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. First poll question, who wins Sunday? This will be an interesting one to see how people vote. Who wins Sunday, Eagles or Bengals? Second poll question, we know the Sixers have said Embiid will miss the first three games. By the way, they play tonight, game two at Toronto. And by the way, we could not have his crying walking off the court of Toronto in that montage today. There was no audio of his crying, if you remember. James, that was very visual situation.
Yes, it was.
To say the least. But all right, the poll question, knowing that Embiid will miss the first three games, we ask you, do you think he will also miss the fourth game? James, what's your instincts tell you on if he plays game four?
No, I think he plays game five.
It's unbelievable.
I think it's Saturday night game. I think he'll play the Saturday night game.
I don't know that it's that simple. I could see a scenario where he either plays game four or he plays game 10.
Who knows?
We're all just taking a guess. But maybe the situation is far more problematic than just, oh, he's missing three, but he'll definitely play four or five. Like, who knows?
I have no faith.
It's insane.
I have no faith that he's going to come
really
back.
It's really sort of insane, isn't
I think
it?
Who knows is the right
unless
answer.
Unless he's hurt.
Right.
Yeah. No, unless he's actually hurt.
I think he must be some degree.
He has to be actually
But then they're
hurt.
Lying to us.
Yes.
They're openly lying, which I'm pretty sure. But that's like against league rules. No, they're being investigated for something different. Like, it's the same type of thing, but it's more the
I just think it's also dishonest.
Player participation.
Player participation.
The league put rules in place a few
The point is, if they didn't want to get investigated, they could have said he's hurt. Like, they, you know what I mean? Like, they're getting hurt because they said they're saying he's not hurt,
you
know?
Yeah, it's a weird thing. And then there's HIPAA realities, but I don't think that plays in here. But, you know, I don't know. Let's go to OG Wade. Wade, what's going on, dude?
What's up, fellas and people, ladies? How y'all doing today?
Great, OG.
Always better when you call in, my man.
Listen, first of all, let me just say this here, and y'all don't give Rhea Hughes enough credit. You know what I'm saying? Rhea Hughes is a pioneer in this city as a woman.
I agree with that.
Means I'm old.
I agree with Rhea's pioneering success.
I'm not being funny about that.
I agree with you. You're right.
And I don't think that we give her enough credit. So today I want to give her flowers while she's still here.
Okay? Thank you.
What is that?
Where am I going?
Rhea didn't tell us anything.
People give flowers when somebody dies. Now give them their flowers while they're here.
I like that, Wade. That's good.
I'm hoping not to die anytime soon. Thank you.
Hey, now let me just give y'all learn y'all a little something. Give you a little knowledge without college for a moment here. Now, while I agree with Cosell and Seth Joyner together, I disagree with you, Joe, in terms of when he's going to be out of the league at all. It won't be.
No, I didn't say out of the league.
Hold on. Then for people that says he's getting $250,000 to be a league, no, he's getting $250 million because that is what the going rate for a starting quarterback in the NFL is. Now let's get to the business. Whenever a team changes an offensive coordinator in an offense, what it does essentially is it sets your quarterback back. So now he's starting over again. While y'all praising these other quarterbacks, Joe Burrow, the Patrick Mahomes, the Josh Allen, these are all guys that's been in their system for 4 years now or more. All you have to do is be a little patient, let Jalen get his hands on this offense. And as far as the weapons that he has, sometimes when you have the amount of weapons that we have, that doesn't really help the quarterback. It actually puts more pressure on him to be able to feed all of those mouths. So what we need to do is appreciate what we have. Allen has been nothing but successful here. We have never had a losing season with him. Can you look at the TV and find him missing plays, messing up? Absolutely. As you can do with every quarterback that's ever played this position. So while I understand your frustration in terms of not seeing the candy and all the beauty. You're not going to see it when a quarterback is.
All right, listen, it's an interesting call, Wade. Look, you have stated that side's position well.
But have you ever heard anybody say too many weapons is a problem?
Other than in the NBA with
yes,
the dream
with
team.
With the ball. Not
like when they're like, all right, we're putting Andre Iguodala on the team because we don't want one of the 12 best players in the world on the Olympic team. We'll have a 30th player who'll play defense and dive on the floor.
Yeah. Here's what I'll say to what Rhea just said, right?
Yeah.
You said Joe Burrow is a much, much better quarterback than Jalen Hurts, right?
For sure, yeah.
Look at the weapons he got. Did they win a Super Bowl?
No, they both lost in the Super Bowl near the very end. I mean,
that's my point. Yeah. So when I tell you, and John will attest to this, the more weapons that a quarterback has, it puts more pressure on him to get.
But it's not good points into your last one. Wade, give me an answer. Most stylish person ever.
OG
Wade.
I love it.
I love Wade. He's great. You know, I also love Saquon, and he's brought a lot more to the table than I expected. A lot more. I thought he'd be good. He's been. I've said it a few times. I'll say it again. He's been like Walter Payton. And I don't give a comparison like that often. I mean, maybe that's just too much. But that's what he looks like to me. And we talked to the Diddy earlier this week, and he gave us a couple of answers on Saquon. Let's start with his answer looking through the prism of Eagles history. I had mentioned Van Buren. Ray was very young. Obviously, Ray saw, as a journalist, Wilbert, Ricky Waters, Brian Westbrook, and LeSean McCoy. And I'd asked Ray, is Saquon the best of that bunch that he had seen? Here's Ray Diddy.
He's different than any other back I've seen them have. I've seen them have fast, elusive guys, and certainly LeSean was that. I've seen them have hard-nosed, tough between the tackles runners. Like, you know, I mean, you'll never find anybody pound for pound tougher than Wilbert Montgomery. And Ricky was a little bit of both. But I've never seen an Eagles back that combines. The speed and the power of this guy.
It is rare that I watch anybody and am mesmerized. I watched this guy play football. I mean, John, I am mesmerized by what Saquon Barkley does out there.
It's just an incredible combination. It's unlikely that you are 235 pounds and running a whatever it must be. I mean, he got to 22 miles an hour.
Yeah, can you imagine
that? He was the second fastest human being to run. Like, just he hit the second highest speed in the NFL this year at 235 pounds. Like, that says so much about just the sheer power.
Remember Bo Jackson?
Explosiveness. Of course.
Bo Jackson running down the sideline.
I'll tell you what I saw in training camp, Ruben, that shocked me. I didn't realize how physically big Saquon is. When you see Saquon standing next to Kenny Gainwell, it's like a high schooler and a pro athlete.
It really is.
And I mean that as no disrespect to Kenny Gainwell. He's carved out like a decent career. But, I mean, Saquon's big.
Yeah.
And he delivers that power, but he's got that elusiveness. I mean, it's really, you know, more from Ray. Let's listen as Ray continued on with the answer.
You saw a guy that ripped off three runs of longer than 35 yards. How often does any back in the NFL do that in one game anymore? It doesn't happen, really. So he does that. But also, you know, maybe the equally impressive is the touchdown he scored, you know, where he takes the handoff and he runs up the middle and he's hit at the 3-yard line. I mean, he runs into a wall at the 3-yard line, and he just keeps his legs driving and he pushes four New York Giants and half of his own offensive line into the end zone for a touchdown. So a guy that can run the way he ran and turn the corner and go 55 yards the way he did, and then combine it with that kind of, you know, Jim Brown power down at the goal line, that's a combination I haven't seen in an Eagles uniform.
Just think about the very first play he got the ball. I think it was on third down. It was the three and out.
Incredible.
He took the check down and just punished that dude. Like, he destroys people.
Yeah.
You try to tackle him and you'll be broken by Saquon.
It's amazing. I marvel watching this dude play.
We talk about, you know, the explosive plays. Do you want to know how much of a hand he has in most of them? So Jeff Kerr's numbers, the Eagles are just one of five teams with six plays of 40-plus yards this season. Four of them are Saquon runs.
Yeah.
Of their 17 plays of 20-plus, Seven of them are Barkley runs.
And far easier for a wide receiver to be a leader in that than a running back. I mean, that's not a stat that normally comes from running backs. Really not.